السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome back to Radio Islam International, the program with Marana Muhammad Ali. And Marana, inshallah, today we'll be speaking about the beautiful name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahibul Hijra, the one who has migrated, subhanallah. And that incident Marana will discuss, beautiful incident inshallah, that Marana will be discussing to us inshallah. Let's welcome Marana with us on the line. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marana, how are you keeping?
Allah shukar, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Marana, jazakumullah for your time. Allah rabbul izzah reward you inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين آمنوا والذين هاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله أولئك يرجون رحمة الله والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choices and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we beg Allah ta'ala to continue bestowing His blessings upon us and not to look at our weaknesses and shortcomings and thereby deprive us because of that of His beautiful ni'mats. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the beautiful names of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is an honor for us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has favored us to speak about His most beloved Nabi, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last week we spoke on the beautiful name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was called Sahibul Shafa'ah and Sahibul Shafa'atil Kubra and Sahibul Wasila and Sahibul Maqamil Mahmud, because all these names, they deal with one particular aspect, therefore we took all of them together. And that was with the intercession, it dealt with the intercession. Today, alhamdulillah, we're going to discuss another beautiful name, and that is the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is linked to his most important historical journey, and not only historical journey and important, but also a journey that brought about the final decision of the Darul Islam and the establishment of the capital of Islam in the Islamic history, as you want to call it, and which was established in Medina Munawwara. So the word hijrah means to immigrate. And a muhajir is one who immigrates, one who leaves his place of birth, he leaves his hometown, and he leaves whatever he has got and goes to another place. But obviously, not everybody will fall in the category of a muhajir. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is referred to as Sahibul Hijrah. A lot of other people also, we know, made Hijrah. A lot of Sahaba are referred to as the Muhajirin in the Quran. But this name, in this context, specifically refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as one of his very, very special names, because the entire Hijrah centered around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's movement, and it centered around his personality, and the journey itself carries a lot of lessons as well as a lot of miracles. Therefore, while everybody else also is a muhajir, the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-muhajir and sahibul hijrah here, is specific to his sirah and to his personality. When a person leaves one place and goes away to another place for the pleasure and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, so that he is able to carry out the obedience of Allah ta'ala, he is able to practice on his deen for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll say this person has made hijrah. Why did he leave this particular place of his present residence? He left it because his deen was endangered. Maybe the conditions came around him to be so bad, and his deen was now being endangered with the environment in such a way that he felt his deen and his children's deen will no longer be safe. So he leaves and he goes away so that he can be in a place where his deen can be protected and safeguarded. Or he leaves because he is finding it difficult to practice on account of the harassment and persecution of the enemies of Islam. And that was the case with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So we find in that also falls in the category of hijrah, like how they have made hijrah, because it was so difficult for them to practice Islam peacefully in the precincts of their homes or in the area of Makkah Mukarramah. And a third form of hijrah also, alhamdulillah, the ulama has mentioned, when a person leaves his current residence, his place, and he goes wholly and solely, purely, totally, with the intention of serving deen in another place. In other words, not to open a market, not to open a business, but specifically to make khidmah of deen, whereby he is linking the people up to Allah Ta'ala through various activities, alhamdulillah, he also falls in the category of a muhajir, a person who has made hijrah. So alhamdulillah, these are some of the definitions or some of the premises upon which a person becomes a muhajir. And we find in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention with regard to the virtue of those people who make hijrah. First of all, you must remember, if a person did not make hijrah, under these three examples that we have mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned a fourth person also who is a muhajir. He says, Al-muhajiru man hajra ma nahallahu anhu wa rasuluhu. That a muhajir is he who immigrates, who moves away from that what Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have prohibited him. So if he stays away from that, he moves away from it. He was doing some wrong action, and he leaves that action, he discards it, he abandons it. Then he, though he hasn't moved from one place to another, but in a way he has moved away from that action, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, he is also a muhajir. So, respected listeners, we find that the real hijrah was carried out by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Quran Kareem has made mention of the hijrah in a few places, where with the one ayat we had recited, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily those people who have embraced iman, and those people who have made hijrah, and who have strived in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the people who are hopeful of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of this people that make hijrah in his path in a very, very beautiful way. Also, we must remember that those people who make hijrah for the pleasure of Allah, if they have got only Allah in front of him, they will never ever face any kind of difficulties in the new place where they have gone. That is a promise of Allah. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا. Those people who had undertaken the hijrah in the path of Allah after having been persecuted and oppressed. لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. This is a promise of Allah. We will most definitely give them a beautiful dwelling in this dunya. We'll give them a beautiful place. We'll give them a beautiful setup in this dunya. وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. And obviously the reward of the akhirah is much, much more greater. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعًا. That whoever makes hijrah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will find a great amount of abundance. So again, when a person leaves wholly and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just because he wants to be safe in his deen, then such a person will never ever face worldly difficulties, nor will he face difficulties of the akhirah. Because he done it for Allah. Allah will take care of him, as Allah has promised in the verse. Now what is the dunya, the worldly benefits? We'll find it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him honor. Allah will grant him wealth. Allah will grant him good fortune. Allah will grant him every kind of protection, etc. These are things that happen. Obviously, if a person goes in another place and then he breaks the orders and the commands of Allah and he becomes a bad person, then he can't expect the help of Allah to come. So maybe he left the place of hijrah with a good intention. But when he came to another place, after a while, he became so involved in the wealth and whatever it might be that he now changed his whole way and he became an evil person. Then such a person has driven away this virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him, and he will not enjoy the benefits. If we have to just look at the life of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, we will find that what a difficult life they had experienced in Makkah Mukarramah after having embraced Islam. And when they moved away from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina, from the time they entered Medina, though there was hardship in Medina, the Ansar received them with respect and honor. So that is the first thing. And the Ansar opened up their houses, their doors to these people. And in a little while, the Muhajirin, alhamdulillah, became very, very self-sufficient. They did not require any assistance from the Ansar thereafter. And we find there, any Sahabi you can look at, who had come from Makkah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up his doors, opened up their way, and then they led a very, very good life. Obviously, those who had decided that they still prefer a life of abstinence, and that was their own choosing. But we find that even the position, the great position of being leaders, was given to the Muhajirin on the occasion of the demise of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When a difference of opinion came about that who should be the next Khalifa, the Muhajirin as well as the Ansar were having a debate. It was the Ansar who stood up first and said, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also said that what? That the leader will be from among the Muhajirin. So imagine you come into a foreign country because of the pleasure of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you a leader and a ruler in that particular country, like the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala al-Majma'in. So respected listeners, that is very briefly the virtue and little background with regard to Hijrah. We come now to the specific name of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and why he undertook the Hijrah. We are all aware of the Islamic history, the Seerah, and we know what difficulties Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba had experienced in the first 13 years of their stay in Makkah Mukarramah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam soon invited, or rather permitted the people that, you know, it is okay now for you people to proceed and to go away to Makkah, to Madinah Munawwara, and go and settle down there to safeguard your deen, so that you can carry out the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any fear of harassment, without any persecution. And why was it Madinah Munawwara? According to the hadith, it is said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the glad tidings of Madina Munawwara in the same way how he was given the glad tidings of prophethood. That means through noble dreams. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown in his dream a certain place which was covered with a lot of date palms, and just told to him, or he was seen that he is making hijrah in that particular direction. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought maybe he'll be going to Yamama, or he'll be going to Hijr, which is in Sham. And in this way he was worrying, where am I going to go? Then finally we find that by the order and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was finally driven, or he was directed and guided towards Madinah Munawwara. On the occasion of Mi'raj, we know that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accompanied by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, then they passed one place that was covered in a lot of dates. At that time Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is going to be your place of hijrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen Madina Munawwara to be the place of hijrah. And that was the honor of the people of Medina. On another narration it meant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had actually given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the option of choosing between Medina, Bahrain, Qinsarin, that in between these three places you can choose and you can go to any one of them where you want to make hijrah. But obviously Allah really put the love of hijrah, and by the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hijrah was towards Medina Munawwara. Also, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first wahi, we know that very famous incident, and that Warqa bin Nawfal said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he mentioned his experience in the cave with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. Warqa bin Nawfal at that time said, I wish I can be with you at that time when the people drive you out from your home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very surprised. He says, they're going to chase me out from my home. Allahum mukhrijiya. They're going to expel me. Warqa bin Nawfal said, yes. Every Nabi, when he was faced with this kind of the mission that you are doing, he was driven out, he was chased out, people got rid of him. So that is one of the things that happens when a person proclaims and announces the haq that is going to happen to him. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had instructed or permitted the Sahaba to start proceeding towards Madina Munawwara. So they were leaving in small and in large numbers, 1, 2, 3, sometimes families, using secret routes and going away in the cover of darkness. There are those sad stories about those people who were actually apprehended, and they were brought back to Madinah, to Makkah Mukarramah. The Quraysh had punished them. Where are you going? You can't go. The Quraysh did not want them to go also. Like we know the first hijrah that took place to Abyssinia, that time also the people of Makkah couldn't handle it. They were burning that the Muslimin are living in peace, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. They tried to bring them back, and in fact they actually succeeded in deceiving them and bringing them back that time. But nevertheless, we find that the mushrikeen and the Quraysh were not happy that the Muslimin were proceeding towards Medina Munawwara, where they are going to establish themselves as a force of the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they made a mashwara. And this mashwara took place where? In Darul Nadwa. And they say that we need to now put some serious thought into this matter. The Muslimin are going away. The followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are leaving. And it's just a matter of time that, you know, he's also going to go away. And if they go elsewhere, they're going to establish themselves, they're going to consolidate themselves, they're going to strengthen themselves, and then Islam is going to be on the rise. So from among the people that were present there, it was mainly all the senior elders of Mecca from the Quraysh. Abu Jahl obviously was there. Also, there were Abu Sufyan also was there at the time. Later on, Abu Sufyan, radiallahu ta'ala, was on with Sahabiyat and with Islam. And a lot of other people were sitting in that particular mashwara. And he said that while you're making this mashwara, having this meeting, Shaitan also came in the form of a very, very old, wise man. And he stood at the door and they asked him, who are you and why have you come? He says, I'm a sheikh. I'm an elder from Najd. I'm listening to what you are saying. And if you permit me, then I would also like to give some of my input and assist you in whatever you are discussing. So the people gave him permission. And they were discussing how should they best annihilate the threat of Islam, and specifically how can they na'udhu billah kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So somebody said he should be locked up in a dark room, in a dark prison, and forgotten about. So Sheikh from Najd, the Shaitan, he says this is not correct, because it's only a matter of time that his people will overpower you and they will come and free him. So don't do that. Somebody said he should be exiled. So the Sheikh said, no, don't do that, because if he be exiled, you know how well he speaks, you know how sweet his words are, he will win the hearts of other people over. And then just a matter of time, they will strengthen his forces and they'll come and attack you. So then Abu Jahl said, I think we should neither imprison him, nor should we exile him. What we need to do is we need to appoint one youth from every tribe, and at one go, at one strike, we should attack him, that is the key, attack Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and kill him. So who killed him, nobody will know. Exactly, nobody will pinpoint which youth, because they were all from different tribes, so the blame will be then spread over a number of people, and everybody can take that little blame, and whatever has to be paid out in terms of recompense or compensation will be sorted out at that time. So the Sheikh, the Shaitan, from Najd, he says this is the best suggestion that has come. And this is the way you are supposed to deal with him. So the plan was made, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, for that particular night, that very night, for them to attack Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where a number of youth were chosen, and they were to surround the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran makes mention, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُوا بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, when the kuffar had planned against you, لِيُثْبِتُوكَ, that they are going to tie you up, they are going to imprison you, أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ, or they must kill you, or yukhrijuk, or they're going to expel you. Sitting and making serious mashwara there. Allah says, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They were planning, and Allah was also planning. وَاللَّهُ خِيرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. And he also sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam and taught him a particular dua. Jibreel alayhi salam came and taught Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this dua. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ وَاجْعَلْنِي مِن لَّدُنكَ سُلْطَانًا نَّصِيرًا. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam taught the dua to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also found in the 15th para, and it's a dua that is not only for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a dua that we are supposed to read each time we leave our home and wherever we are going. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the virtue of this dua to let us reach our destination safely, leave safely and reach also our destination safely, and to have a special assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that same night, when these people were going to attack Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was the night the order came down where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed that he must leave the same night. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the deep heat of the afternoon, came to my father's house, and he informed Rasulullah Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is the beauty of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is his great important position that Allah ta'ala had chosen and favored him to be the companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him and informed him that, "Oh Abu Bakr, I have been granted the permission for undertaking the hijrah." Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, "Oh Rasulullah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Has this servant also got the opportunity of accompanying you?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, you have been given not only the permission, the opportunity, but you are the one who is supposed to accompany me." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also via wahi informed him that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is going to join him. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu burst out crying. She says, "I never ever thought somebody is going to cry out of such joy. I never ever thought somebody can cry out of joy. And I saw how my father started crying, and I realized people can cry out of happiness." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu already knew that this hijrah is going to take place sooner or later, so he had already bought two camels who he was busy feeding, and he made them nice and fat and ready for the journey. And he said to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You must take one." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I'm not going to take one camel, I'm going to purchase one camel." Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not insist. He says, "Whatever you want to do, whatever." He was just too happy to go with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this journey. And obviously he knew that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mizaj and characteristic and disposition was that he did not want to take it for free. So he says, "If that makes you happy, then fine, you can pay for it." But we find that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then took the camels. And then they had planned their journey for that same night. Now when it was the time of night, the Quraysh had made their plan. Their plan was to come in, surround the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he is in his deep sleep, or whatever their plan was, they were going to attack him. So they had made their plan. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had planned his journey, that tonight we are going to leave, and he left his house. And we know the very famous incident where he asked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to cover himself in his sheet and sleep on his bed. What an honor for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him his green shawl. He had a green shawl. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu slept. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Do not fear. No one is going to cause any kind of harm to you." So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, on those words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, later on he recalled, he said, "I never ever had a much more peaceful sleep, because I was assured by the Nabi of Allah that I will have no problem in my sleep." And also he knew that he's going to meet with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina later on, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "These are the valuables of the people, you must return it to them, and then you will meet me in Medina Munawwara or in Quba, wherever it was." So Ali radiallahu ta'ala knew that this is going to happen. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter left his house. And at that time Abu Jahl was there. He was supervising the whole operation. And he was laughing and joking, telling the people, "You know, this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that if you are going to follow him, then you are going to become the leaders of the Arabs as well as the non-Arabs. And when you die, you are going to be granted a very, very high place in Jannah. And if you don't bring iman upon him, then you are going to be killed and you are going to go to Jahannam after you die." So he was making all these mocking statements. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard all this as he left his house. And when he came out of the home, he picked up one handful of sand. Subhanallah. And he said, "Yes, that's what I say." In other words, he responded to Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl didn't even hear the response. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked up that sand and recited the opening verses of Surah Yasin, فَأَغْفِنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, and he threw it in the direction of the people that were standing there. This is one of the miracles. That's why we say this is not just a hijrah. This is a very, very important trip, and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was seen here, and this is one of the mu'ajizat, the miracles that manifested itself during this particular journey. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just threw one handful of sand in the direction of the kuffar, and all the sand went and it scattered itself from every one of them. They did not know what happened thereafter. And very nicely, calmly, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked right past them, right under their noses, and into the home of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And after that, the two of them departed and they went to the Mount of Thur, Jabal Thur, where they took refuge for the next 3 days. It is said that one particular person at that time did see them. And he asked them that, Why are people waiting here? Who? The people, the youth. They said, we are waiting for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come out. We're going to kill him. So that person said, that may Allah ta'ala make you unsuccessful in what you are doing. Because he had already seen what had happened. So in any case, in the morning, when this one Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come out, they went into the house. And when they found Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu sleeping there, they were most upset and angry. And they felt totally humiliated and defeated. And they asked him, where is Muhammad? Where is he? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was very cool and calm. He said, I have no knowledge where he is. And really, he had no knowledge. Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam already left at that time. Where he was at that particular point in time, no one exactly knew. Now, when they went that night, as you were walking out of Makkah, you remember, it was not a straight road. It was a mountainous place. It was rocky and a very rugged area through which they had to actually walk. So the different narrations inform us that how Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu carried Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam on his shoulders so that he must not be hurt by any of the rocks at certain parts of their journey going towards the Mount of Thur. Subhanallah. So you see, this is the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, like in the words of our Kabirin, that he was very, very beautifully carrying the flower of Nubuwah, that is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, safely out of Makkah Mukarramah. And in other places, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walked behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other places, they overtook him and walked in front of him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Bakr, what is this? Sometimes you're walking this side, sometimes on the front, sometimes in the back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, why are you doing this? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, when I feel and I apprehend any danger from whichever angle, that is the side I walk, that is the place I try and protect you from the danger. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, what are you thinking? What are you hoping? That your object by this is that if anything happens, you must be killed and I must be saved. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, yes, that's what I want. In other words, I'm prepared to die for you. Now look at this. This is the real sacrifice in the most difficult and the most hazardous and the most dangerous journey of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be his guide and to be his guard. And when we reach the cave, we find that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wait, let me clean out the cave. So he goes into the cave, he cleans it out, and thereafter they both enter this cave and they spend the night there. That's why Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to very, very enviously say that I'm prepared to give all the ibadat of my entire life to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in lieu of just 2 days, two occasions. One is on the night of the hijrah. I want that night from him. He must give me, I'll give him all my ibadah. The night when he took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of Makkah and safely put him in the cave. Allahu Akbar. And the second one is the day of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, and all of the people were saying to Abu Bakr, why are you undertaking jihad against the renegades of Islam? At that time Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, if I have to die, doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to wage jihad against those people who are turning away from Islam and those people who are refusing to pay zakat. I'm prepared to fight against them. He fought and he stood so steadfast on his decision at that time. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on that occasion, he stood up for Islam, and as a single man, he was prepared to protect and defend Islam. So that is the day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu enviously says, I wish Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu can give me that in lieu of all the ibadat of my entire life. Nevertheless, they came and they took refuge in the cave. Now the hijrah has started. That's why we say the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Sahibul Hijrah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Sahibul Hijrah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once they had settled themselves in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered three things to happen. One, a spider wove its web on the mouth of the cave. Number two, a bird, a pigeon, laid an egg right there. And number three, a tree miraculously, by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grew at the mouth of the cave. So it gave total indication that this particular cave is blocked out, there's no one in there. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But obviously, while they were inside the cave, the kuffar had already sent out their search parties the next morning, and people went in different directions. And when they came to the mouth of the cave, they were actually looking inside. At that time, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala looking into the face of one of the enemy. The enemy could not see them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that they were protected by the command of Allah. But Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was taken over by fear. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا ظَنُّكَ يَا أَبَا بَكَرْ by his name, Allahu thalithuhuma. Oh Allah, what do you, he say, oh Abu Bakr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Abu Bakr, what do you have to say? What do you think about those two people, that is me and you, are here together, and the third of them is Allah? In other words, what do you have to worry? You have nothing to worry. We are two, but we're not two. The third is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was still very, very worried. He was extremely worried. Allah ta'ala knew the worry of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And it was on this occasion that the verse was revealed. إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ when they were in the ghar, in the cave. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا that he said to his friend, he said to his companion, who? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companion, لَا تَحْزَنْ to not grieve, to not have any worry, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down his sakina and peace upon him. وَأَيَّدَهُ and Allah assisted him بِجِنُودِ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا with an army that they did not see. So this alayhi, according to most of the Mufassirin, refers to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no fear because he already was comforting Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any fear at that time. The worry was of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, not for his own safety, but for the safety of his beloved friend, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu glaringly are found in this ayat of the Quran, where we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to him as his friend. See, the enemies of Islam, the munafiqeen of this day and age, they can say what they want to about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They can make all the stories they want to. But what Allah says is لِصَاحِبِهِ when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his friend and to his companion, Allah said to him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, and Allah referred to him as his friend. So when Allah says that this is a friend of my Nabi, nobody else can say anything. لا تحزن to not be afraid, do not worry. إن الله معنا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. So imagine, Allah was also aware of the love that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for his beloved Nabi, that Allah says, you worrying for my Nabi? Don't worry. Allah says, أنزل الله سكينته Allah says, I will now grant you sakina. So that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. Nevertheless, respected listeners, and Allah says, وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted them with an army which you did not see. That is now a different topic, obviously. We just digress. That the virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. 3 days later, they planned to hide in the cave for 3 days. And they stayed in the cave for 3 days. And in these 3 days, the members of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam household used to come very, very cautiously and discreetly and inform them about the happenings of Makkah Mukarramah, what is being said. And in this way we find that they were informed fully of the situation in Makkah. 3 days later, when things had now subsided and the kuffar had given up hope of ever finding them, we find Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the cave. And it is said that the person that accompanied them at that time, Amir bin Fuhaira, he was the freed slave of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He used to come and give them the milk and used to take care, inform them. He came and he brought a guide for them whose name was Abdullah bin Ariqit. He was the guide. So he came with his camel and the other two camels were brought. And they now came to the cave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu mounted the camels and they started going away in the direction of Madina Munawwara, leaving Makkah. At that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very, very painfully in his heart, he addressed Makkah and he addressed the Kaaba, that had my people never chased me away from here, I would never ever have left you. And they left. And they took a very secret route at that time. And towards the coast, where they knew nobody was going to actually find them. Because a lot of people were after them. And there was a bounty put on their head at that time, that whoever finds them and captures them and brings them back, will be given a reward of 100 camels. Like in this day and age, 100 cars. You know, camel was a vehicle at that time. It was something that used to use, like how we use cars. Imagine they say there's a competition out. If you win, you win the competition, you'll get 100 Mercedes or 100 Camrys. We like Camrys. So you get a Camry, 100 Camrys. And those are camels, you see. So nevertheless, we find that now they proceeded. And when they were going, people did meet them. So they asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because they knew Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, many people did not know Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the outlying people. So they asked Abu Bakr, who is this with you? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that هذا الرجل يهديني السبيل. This is my guide. He's showing me the road. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not lying. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu meant that this is my guide in my deen, my guide who is showing me the path towards my Jannah, towards my Akhirah. Now, that was the journey as it had commenced. On the way, we find another miraculous incident took place, and that was at the home of the tent of Umm Ma'bad. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his party reached this camp, they were hungry, they were thirsty. And Umm Ma'bad was sitting there. So they asked her that, can you give us anything to eat? So she said, I have nothing to eat, there's nothing here. People used to pass by there. Probably people used to ask her, when she used to have, she used to give them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw one very, very sick looking goat in one corner there. And so he asked her that, what about that goat? Why is it there? Why is it not gone? So she replied that this particular goat is too sick to go out with the rest of the flock into the fields to go and eat and graze. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, may I milk it? So she says, how will ever milk come out of this sickly animal? It's sick, it can't go anywhere. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, will you permit me? She says, yes, if you can take out the milk, go ahead. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and he started milking the goat. And we find an entire vessel, entire container of milk came out from there, from which he, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as well as their guide, they drank from there. Umm Ma'bad obviously was shocked. They left the remainder of the milk and they proceeded. When her husband came in the evening and he found that milk, where did this milk come from? Because all the sheep were with me. So she said, a very, very pious person passed here and he actually milked this particular goat and now we have this milk. So he said to her, describe him to me. So she described the features of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I think this is that same saintly person about whom the people of Makkah speak. The same saint of Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded. One fellow who did not give up the chase and the pursuit of the reward was Suraqa bin Malik. He spotted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was very, very happy. So he came with his horse very fast. At that time Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu looked at the back and he saw him coming. Again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely calm and at peace, and he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, don't worry. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very, very, very worried. And when Suraqa finally caught up with them and he told them to stop and halt, obviously he was now going to arrest them and take them back to Makkah. We find at that particular time that the horse of Suraqa started sinking into the ground, and Suraqa got such a shock that he didn't know what was happening. And he first of all initially was a bit arrogant, but then he started pleading for mercy. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finally said to Suraqa that you will be allowed to go. Suraqa was asking for peace now, you know, for maaf, provided you do not let the people know about our whereabouts. That's all. So Suraqa left them. This is the second miracle of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this particular journey. And then they continued, and the third person with his group who caught up with them, his name was Buraida Aslami. Buraida Aslami with 70 people was also looking for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he came across them, he did not know who they were. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu started talking to Buraida. So he asked him, who are you? So Buraida says, Ana Buraida. My name is Buraida. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aba Bakr, barrada amruna. That our matter has been cool now. because from the way you say Bureda comes from the Arabic word Barad. Barad means become something cold. So it's not a hot matter, it's a cold matter. This. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him, and from which tribe are you? So he said, mean Aslam. I'm from the tribe of Aslam, because Bureda Aslami. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Sallimna. So Aslam, we are safe. Then he asked him, which tribe of the Aslam clan? So he said, mean Bani Saham. He said, I'm from the Saham. Saham means an arrow also, and also means a share. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Kharaja Samuka, your share has come out. In other words, your share of Islam has come out. Then he turned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa Rasulullah. I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah and the Messenger of Allah. At that time already Bureda was overcome. Bureda Aslami radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he recited the kalima, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Not only him, but 70 people accepted Islam on this particular journey at the hand of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued on his journey until he reached Quba. So the journey of Hijrah actually ends at Quba. Some people say it ends in Medina. But today we focus on the journey itself, the help of Allah and the various miracles of Allah, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this particular journey, where we find that his one name is Sahibul Hijrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ma'alina ila al-balagh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.